with it. What I'm going to be talking about as briefly is some research that's taken about 20 years out of my life. Not that that's all I've done, but this is an effort that's been going on for quite some time for arid areas, particularly in the county of San Bernardino. And what we're doing is looking at radar. How many have heard of radar? You know, Doppler radar. Everybody's happy with it. Just out of a show of hands, how many think the Doppler radar is really accurate, really fine-tuned? Raise your hand. How many? All right. Well, let's try it this way. How many think that if you took the exact solution of what the data are and compared it to the Doppler radar, it's within 50%, plus or minus 50% on the average? How many think that? Just raise your hands. How about plus or minus? Oh, we got one? Okay. All right. You basically are in tune. The people who work with this stuff don't really rely on it a whole lot, but it's better than nothing. It's kind of like what the philosophy is for most people. So it was a challenge for me to take stuff that is better than nothing and to try to make some sense out of it. Okay, where's San Bernardino County? Most of you know where it is. It's right there on that map. And the desert part of it, which is towards the right-hand side, is one of the largest arid areas in the mainland United States. And the southwest United States provided the focus of this research of getting all the Doppler data that we have. And our focus isn't just looking at Doppler data versus precip data, which is another area of research. We're looking at what some people call depth area curves. How many have heard of depth area curves? All right, they're great things. And you have them on your greeting cards, probably. Here are the 159 high-resolution S-band Doppler weather. All right, cool. I'm only going to be looking at those in the southwest United States. And that really reduces things down. And here's the coverage of the radar stations that I'm going to be looking at. Not many, but it's enough to take a look at. We looked at over 1,500 storm events to try to sort out what could be called depth area curves. And this was the task that we went through. We first identified what we called key storms by trying to leverage it to rain gauge data. Remember that? It's still the best on the market that we've been able to find. And the precip data we found for arid storms predominantly are like 1 hour events. It's like that's all that's produced by Mother Nature. We're gonna give you 1 hour, we're gonna just whack you with it, and then go away. And we that's the type of information we not only got for the San Bernardino County, but Maricopa County in Arizona. We also, you know, looked in the Las Vegas area, Clark County. Real good data sources over there. For each of the storms, we collected 3 days of the data. And the reason we did that is we, you know, let the computer take a look at it. Look at the peak 1 hour, peak 2 hours, all the way out to peak 3 days. And we created a Doppler animation for each of the storm events using what you get on the NOAA website. How many of you have used the NOAA website now recently? It's really slick. Slick as dinosaur snot. I mean, you can have people get on there and all of a sudden they're meteorologists. And I know Dave Curtis is right now just stiffening up in his chair and thinking about all this. But from these animations, we're able to identify the 3 hour, 2 hour, 1 hour, 30 minute, and 15 minute so-called peak rainfall durations. And that is given to you by the National Weather Service. It's all automated. Did you know that the demand for meteorologists is inversely proportional to the rate at which the National Weather Service is uploading their data? That's what's happening. Okay, you've seen all this, so I don't need to bore you with it, but we did our homework. This is what we did. We went through, developed all the peak durations. And here's one event on 11/30/2007, a storm from radar station KEYX. And there you can see the actual data that we got from the National Weather Service website. Okay, what am I going to do with that? Well, we first identified what were significant storms. And what we had were two data sets, 1999 to 2006, which was the first try by the County of San Bernardino to look at all the storms to see if we could come up with better ideas of depth area relationships. and then the more recent update of 2007 to 2015. And this is how many candidate storms we found. Guess how many storms were of any value? 9. Out of all that, that's it. There was only 9. That's because in the desert, it doesn't rain much. Yeah. So we only had 9 storms. Okay. Some storms were eliminated from further consideration for the following reasons. This was a good reason. A, no data were there. That was a good reason. And then the available data was corrupt. How do we know it was corrupt? Well, if you've looked at the radar enough stuff at times, you get to see all this weird stuff, and so you know this is corrupt. You can't make good scientific findings. Another point is we could not find the particular storm cell that we're tracking to go over a rain gauge. That was critical to us, is we're not going to just duplicate what sometimes happens when you play radar, and that is not really know what you're dealing with. So all we would do is work with the data that there's a rain gauge. Somehow, some way, the radar cell track goes over the rain gauge, and we have some actual data. So we can compare the two and come up with a correlation. And if the same storm is being measured on multiple radar sites, which is almost always, the site with the best coverage was selected. Does that sound reasonable? Yeah, well, that's what we did. So that's probably a pitfall. Here is the coverage of all the events we looked at, lots of it. No, we don't look at all at the same time. You go one at a time, and with this great color code over here on the legend, you can tell what radar station. And this one is of high interest to me currently, the KEYX, which is the one I just mentioned, which is located in the area of Palmdale. That's an area of a very high intense storm cell. Again, lasted about an hour. Well, I lied, not 60 minutes, it was 62 minutes. And it had very high return frequencies, if you believe those statistics from where? National Weather Service. You have this NOAA Atlas in there. You've all heard of NOAA Atlas 14, which was the update. And you go in there and you can get various return frequencies up to 1,000 year. Come on, you can do it. All right, here is the big kahuna. What you see here is for the southwest arid United States, and you see all the important depth area curves. Some of these are published, like, for example, the one on the lower right-hand side, that dashed line. That depth area curve corresponds to the bottom line. That's what's in the current hydrology manual, which dictates how to develop flood control design, runoff hydrographs, and that's been in place, oh man, since it was first published in 1983. Where did that come from? Did that come from the county of San Bernardino? Of course not. It came from Los Angeles County, a storm that the Corps of Engineers did a lot of studying, namely the 1943 Sierra Madre event. And it came over here because at that time it was the best available information. Well, observe this yellow line that's just kind of like a serpent going up and down around it. That's from a real severe storm that just happened in year 2010 in the city of Highland, county of San Bernardino. That depth area curve it's virtually validation of what has been used by the county since 1983. Above that, you find a host of depth area curves, including like for the one, where's the one here for, no, that's right. All these are actual key storm events that we looked at. And here you see Lakita Storm 2, Lakita Storm 1. Those are fascinating events. It happened in the year 2014 and 2013. Imagine this. Both storms, duration, what duration are these really severe storms? They are 1 hour. That's right. One was like 58 minutes and the other one was 70 minutes. They occurred 1 year apart. They hit at the identical place. They caused massive flooding both times. Return frequency estimates, if you believe NOAA Atlas 14, which I do, you know, I mean, that's the best thing on the market. They were both well above a 1,000-year event. You know, that's hard for me to fathom that it's basically the worst storm since the time of Christ, but that's what the statistics say, if you believe those numbers. What I would say is the evidence suggests it's greater than 100 year. And if you look at the atlas, it says this value, that it's over 1,000 years. Why is it over 1,000 years? Because that's all the farther NOAA goes with their statistics. It stops with 1,000 years. And we have different duration depth area reduction factor curves, which we're showing you here for 1 hour. And then I'm going to give you a comparison, and then I'm going to toss the baton over to Dr. Rao, who's going to wrap this all up. Now, parallel with this gigantically important event, so important that you give up the beach to come in here to listen to this talk, parallel to this is work being done and concurrently being done by West Consultants for Imperial County in their hydrology manual. And they've examined a host of other sources of information for depth area, and that was all included as part of this paper research and publication. How do these depth area values compare? Well, let's take a look here at the 1 hour value. Just why 1 hour is important for depth area, you know, comparisons for desert storms. And we're looking at 50 square miles and 100 square miles. Depending on the radar station you use and depending on what criteria you use, like observe, there's one in there in the middle, right in the middle, called Riverside County Manual. It's based on NOAA Atlas 2. Which was published when? Let's see if you all are up on your history. 1970, what, Mark?
70-something.
Yeah, 71.
Based on work.
And in a different part of the nation, right? It's where were the main, many of the storms from? Chicago. That's what's being used in the Riverside County Hydrology Manual today. Yeah. Well, that's in there because it's fun to look at, but then you see all these other desert assessments. Like here you see Nevada Department of Transportation. This information is assembled by the work done by West Consultants on their current research that's going on. Here you see almost at the bottom the Highland storm that just happened, and it's right in the center of the study area for the County of San Bernardino. And then what this county has always used since the first publication back in 1982. And where did that come from? But the Sierra Madre event in Los Angeles, which is analyzed by the court. So look at the variation of that. Wow. I mean, just look at 50 square miles. It varies 100%. What's the right answer? I don't know. That keeps research grants going forever, right? All right. So, whoop, you just lost some stuff here. You all know how to figure out peak durations, and I was just going to go through that. But let's go to the next part here. I can do this. We can do it. Do it together. And I'll introduce here Dr. Rao. He's going to be going over some of the material that was done in parallel, including the work that we borrowed or stole from West Consultants.
The original manual that was developed for the county is this booklet. It was published way back in 83, and we were asked to go back, review some of the parameters that went into this manual, and make recommendations that will best consider into account the extreme precipitation events that occurred over the last two decades. The work that we did, last week has been accepted by the National Academy of Engineers, and it will be published hopefully in the coming month or two in their magazine, The Bridge. So, as Professor Hromadka was saying, some of the DAF curves were published in the literature, and we used them for our comparison analysis. This was the work by West Consultants. It's ongoing work for Imperial County. To my knowledge, Imperial County was it didn't have the hydrology manual until last year. And they requested West Consultants to develop one for them. We were part of that group too. They also used some of the analysis from San Bernardino County. These are the 1 hour comparison curves. In particular, we were focusing on the storm one and storm two, which were high precipitation events. We had 1 hour, 6 hour, and 24 hour curves. Again, the focus is to see how best the published curves from the San Bernardino Hydrology Manual compared to other standard publications. We used about 6 or 7 curves from the published manuals, Riverside, Arizona, and a couple of other counties. Okay. But there were 2 storms that were extreme. The first one, it started because of some atmospheric disturbance in Africa. It's in September 2014. It's identified as Hurricane Norbert. Arizona, it had more than 1 in 1,000 year rainfall because of this event. Here is some data that compares the rainfall event because of that storm. These are the 1 day totals. And here is the path. The remnants of this hurricane had an effect in the geographical area of interest. We were trying to map its movement as a function of the radar location. Our study focused on 5 radars, Las Vegas, Edwards, Santa Ana, Yuma, and San Diego. Analyzing this effort over 5 radars for about 200 plus storms, it wouldn't have been possible, but for the help of various individuals that we'd like to acknowledge. And this research grant was funded from the San Bernardino County. This was a note that the county wanted us to put along with the presentation. And then I think that completes our short presentation. Okay. I mean, I know that many of you are in hydraulics, hydrology area. If you're looking to hire any students or interns, put Cal State Fullerton on your map. As you can see, they have been working with TED on many challenging projects. So I think many of our students are well qualified. Thank you.
Okay, so we do have time for some questions. And TED, if you could also come back to the stage to answer any questions. And I'll open the floor up if anyone has in particular.
I'm not a hydrologist, but what were the key recommendations that were made to the agency that, because usually these have impacts to their CFD districts or their flood control districts and what developers pay into it. So I'm just curious how this was used by the agency and what recommendations you made.
Sure, thanks for your question. The research came about from Ted, if you could please speak into the microphone.
Sure. The whole research effort came about a overarching question, which was, do the depth area factors change as a result of some very severe thunderstorms that happened, particularly those two that I showed you on the La Quinta event? We had those incredible hurricanes, if you recall, and it did some devastation, ironically, at the same area. The recommendations are that we made is to come up with a more rigorous rain gauge network. We don't see how adding more radar is going to improve much more over what we're having right now. What we need are more rain gauge data so that we can better calibrate what we do have. That's pretty much the mean effort, and the county has committed to it. How much they're budgeting, I don't know, but it's non-zero, which to atmospheric types, it means a lot. Any other questions?
Ted, so if you, when you were looking at the curves, the San Bernardino curve that's been there for a long time, it matched with a winter storm, whereas most of the other storms were either fall, spring, and then majority summer monsoons.
Yes.
Do you think that the seasonality and the type of storms have any impact on the shape of the curve?
No, of course, but we don't have the data to be able to differentiate it at this point. Again, it's all data. This was all a data exercise. How many students did you put?
Six.
Six. And how long did they work on this? It was an entire summer, wasn't it? Yeah, so it was a great deal of data. And we went, most of the effort, I can assure you, although it did cause several points of IQ being lost with many of the students, most of the work was to reject data because it just doesn't, you don't get many outcomes that are severe. And we're just, how fortunate, Dave will probably appreciate this most, is calculating the probabilities that while we're studying it, we get those two remarkable storms of 2013, right smack in the center of the county of San Bernardino, right over a rain gauge. I mean, what are the chances? Well, the chances are one. It happened. So obviously, that's the chances. So anyway, that's how it came about. So all those effects you have, oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Can I distinguish it for you? No. Okay.
Another question? If not, I'll jump in with one. It's whether your team had put effort into trying to tinker with the Z-to-R relationships that are in the radars. Are you familiar?
Yes, and the answer is no. We were just lucky enough to get the data that we had.
And what data were you using, to clarify?
We had, what were all the different radars? We had S-band, Doppler, the 88, the dual. There were five different types.
In terms of the parameters that you're looking at out of it, are you looking at the raw reflectivity and then calculating precipitation?
No, we're using the actual data that the National Weather Service gave
us. So the precipitation that's already been calculated by the
That's correct.
So in a lot of those cases, the Z-to-R relationship's built on something that's not necessarily appropriate for the region in general.
I agree.
And you could, with some of instrumentation, say a distrometer, create a better Z-to-R relationship. Do you think that that would be worthwhile in this area? Or do you think that the radar is just not sufficient in terms of coverage and physical
processes? I don't want to give away a paper that we're putting together right now, but we looked at, what was it, 15? Different reports of
published gauge and radar comparisons.
Yeah, there were 15 of them that were comparing using five different radar genres and various ZR relationships. And we're looking at the uncertainty. And it, when you compare it all and you come up with marginal and conditional distributions, it's a wide range, it's a wide variance. And the difference between different ZR relationships didn't improve things that much. It got more stable around the mean, but how do you know when you're around the mean? You don't.
Yeah. So you need a distrometer at some point in here. Do you, off the top of your head for curiosity, know which Z-to-R the majority of these are using? Is it a standard that's used? And for those in the audience that don't know, a Z-to-R is a relationship between the reflectivity and rainfall.
Yeah, so it's a power law. It's A, Z to B, and then you calibrate A and B. There were probably two dozen formulas that were reported in the stuff that we looked at. So it's really all over the place. So you'd hope something would hit, but it didn't.
Too much variability. Stomp,
yes.
Stomp. Any other questions? Okay, then I think we'd like to thank our speakers.
Thank you for allowing us to be here.